أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام عندما سئل لما سميت فاطمة الزهراء زهراء، فأجاب عليه السلام: لأن الله خلقها من نور عظمته، فلما أشرقت أضاءت السماوات والأرض بنورها. صلوات. If you ask the Urafa and the greatest scholars of Islam and the Mutakallimeen, the scholars and experts of the Islamic beliefs, all of them say that the biggest ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ni'matul ulma, is the walaya of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. There is no ni'mat of Allah which is bigger than that. We need to be thankful and the minimum, the bare minimum to thank the ni'mat of walaya is to acquire the ma'rifah, the in-depth recognition, how in Farsi we say shanakht al-ma'rifah, and disassociate ourselves from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. That's the bare minimum. And ma'rifat of Sayyida Zahra alayha salam is the key to our success. And tonight I would like to mention some narrations which talk about the reasons why Sayyida Zahra alayha salam is named Az-Zahra and why she is named Fatima. In Arabic, the word az-zahra means the glittering one, the shining one. But for the personality of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, there is much more than this, just that. The first narration, and the reason why we talk about the greatness of Ahlul Bayt, their fada'il, their superior attributes, their manaqib, is not an emotional reason. There are some people who try to play with the emotions of the people. Talking about the fada'il and manaqib of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and their highness has countless benefits for our life. And one of those benefits is that when we recognize their highness, it facilitates us to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like when someone asks Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, ma ma'rifatullah, what is ma'rifat of Allah, in-depth recognition of Allah. Well, the hadith of Imam Hussain alayhi salam are very precious. Well, hadith of every masoom is precious. Why did I say hadith of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is precious? Because Allama At-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi says in his book that 10 years of imamat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and there is zero hadith narrated from him. This is a shame for the followers of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, who were those of them who were able, but they did not benefit. That's a shame for them. 10 years of the imamat span of Imam al-Husayn with no hadith narrated, which means obviously the situation, the political situation that the community was going through in Medina was so bad, people were not ready to benefit from the masoom. When you come and see, come for his ziyarat, you talk to him, you learn from him things, you write it down what he's saying, that's what hadith is all about, right? So there is nobody to benefit from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. There is zero hadith narrated in Ilmul Hadith, in the science of Islamic narrations. Zero hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In 10 years of his life, span of imamat, until the last few months of his life when he announces the Qiyam and uprising. And this is where you find a handful of ahadith from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Handful. So I have the right to say the hadith of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam are very precious. So when su'il al-Husayn alayhi salam ma ma'rifatullah, somebody asked Imam Husayn alayhi salam, what's the ma'rifat of Allah? We talk about ma'rifat so much in Islam. It's wajib to have ma'rifat. It's the wajib number one on the neck of our every baligh boy and girl when we reach the age of Islamic maturity. Without the ma'rifat, we die the death of jahiliyyat. Man mata walam ya'rif imam zamanihi mata mitatan jahiliyya, right? We talk so much about ma'rifat. So what's the meaning of ma'rifat of Allah? And Imam al-Husayn al-Islam replied back, ma'rifatu ahli kulli zamanin imamahum alladhi yajibu alayhim ta'atuhu. That means recognition of people of each time, of every time, them recognizing the imam of their time, whose obedience has been made wajib upon them. That's the ma'rifat of Allah. The question was about ma'rifat of Allah. The answer is about the ma'rifat of the imam. The guy is asking about what is the ma'rifat of Allah. Imam Hussain is giving the answer about recognizing the imam. So what do we mean? If we recognize the imam of our time, who is the madhar, like I said last night, our imams are madhar and madahir and reflection of every single name and attribute of Allah, sifatul jalali wal jamal,
attributes of majesty and beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing them will facilitate us to recognize Allah, and that's the wajib number one. So it's very important to talk about the greatness of Ahlul Bayt. And the second of the countless benefits of the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is when we recognize that Allah has given us leaders like them, then there is no room for a person to compromise over his values and accept the taghuts, accept the zalimeen, or butter up the zalimeen, or toe their line, or support them in their agendas, or do things that ends up in their favor without getting paid. There are some people who are doing things, saying statements, adopting policies which are ending up in the favor of the enemies of Islam. Whether you are paid or unpaid, if you do something that supports the enemies, the Yazidis of today, then you are working for their agenda. You better have gotten a salary from them. Right? So this is a situation that we need to be very careful about. So talking about the fada'il is not an emotional discussion when we talk about the greatness of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam. See, the reason why the enemies of Islam hate Imam Khomeini Ridwanullahi alayhi is because he taught us applied science. Applied science. We have been talking about theoretically, you know, Imam Ali al-Islam is so great, which he is so great. You know, he did this and this and this towards Marhab and the occasion of Khaybar. Right. What am I supposed to do? Is there any lesson from the theories that I can apply on my everyday life? What's in it for me? That's not there. There are people who talk about the Yazidis of yesterday, but when it comes to the Yazidis of today, they are silent. This is what I call Islam of convenience. There are some people who follow the Islam of convenience, not the Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If you were following the Islam of Ahlul Bayt, then the Islam of Ahlul Bayt teaches us awwaluna Muhammad wa akhiruna Muhammad wa awsatuna Muhammad wa kulluna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them are Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them are part of one nur. The enemies of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, need to be treated in the same way the way we are supposed to treat the enemies of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Right? The way we treat the enemies of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the same way we are supposed to treat with the enemies of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Right? There cannot be any distinction. The way we consider Muawiyah, we are supposed to have the same feelings towards the Yazidis of today, who are the enemies of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Do we do that? How many people are doing that? How many people are doing that, right? When it comes to the Yazidis of today, so many of our, they are community centers, there are masjids, there are Husainiyas, where, you know, construct centers, people are constructing centers, $14 million, $21 million, $27 million, and putting a ban on all those scholars who talk about Yawm al-Quds. So you don't talk about the Yazidis against the Yazidis of today. If you want to construct a center and you want to apply your own personal policies and takes, that's why I always say in my speeches that please, when you come to an Islamic center or masjid, leave your opinion at home. Because we don't come to the masjid to worship your opinion. We come to the masjid in Husainiyah to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to what Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq alayhi salam has taught us. It's true, Mawlana, Imam as-Sadiq alayhi salam has said this and this and this in the hadith. But you know, my take is this. Who cares about your take? Who cares about your take? Why are you there to apply your policy on the Islamic center? Are you the authority in Islam? But that's where the problem starts, right? So, it's very important for us to talk about the fada'il. It's very important to talk about the manaqib of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the fada'il of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So our youth recognize, it helps them to recognize the azamat and greatness of Ahlul Bayt. These are the leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Please say salawat. MashaAllah, for the long life of Mawlana, please recite another salawat. When someone asks Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam why Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam is named as Zahra, he says that because Allah certainly created her from the nur of His azamat and greatness. When she glittered, When she started to shine, فَلَمَّا أَشْرَقَتْ أَضَاءَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, the heavens and the earth started to glitter, بِنُورِهَا, with the divine light of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, وَخَشِيَتْ أَبْصَارُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the eyes of the angels, they were afraid, they were under influence of that. In other words, وَخَرَّتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ سَاجِدِينَ, and all those angels drop down in sajda. See, angels, first of all, are creatures made of nur, divine light. They recognize nothing but nur. Just like computer understands nothing but zero and one. So angels are themselves made of nur. They don't care how much money you have, what's the balance in your checking account, what sort of car you drive. They don't care about these things. They care about how much nur you are carrying in your soul. If you have higher level of nuraniyat and luminosity, they would give higher respect to you. If you have lesser level of nur in your soul, emitted from your soul, they have lesser level of respect for you. If you have no nur, which means zulmat and darkness, and for some people it's darkness is piled up one on top of the other, they would not even recognize these people. Forget about respecting them. So all they recognize is nur. Now they find, they themselves are made of nur, So now they found a nur which is so glittering that the universe is glittering because of that one nur. They have to be impressed. They have to be, they are themselves made of nur, but they never found a nur like that in their life. So now they drop down in sajda. خَرَّتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مَلَائِكَةُ اللَّهِ سَاجِدِينَ, they all drop down in sajda. وَقَالُوا إِلَهَنَا وَسَيِّدَنَا مَا هَذَا النُّورِ, and they ask Allah, our Lord, our leader, what's this nur? And Allah sent his wahi towards them. هَذَا نُورٌ مِن نُورِ, this is a nur from my nur. وَأَسْكَنْتُهُ فِي سَمَائِي, I have stationed that nur in my heaven. خَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ عَظَمَتِي, I created her, created the nur, that nur from my greatness. أُخْرِجُهُ مِنْ صُلْبِ نَبِيٍّ مِنْ أَنْبِيَائِي, I am going to take that nur out from the lineage of one of my prophets. أُفَضِّلُهُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, I am going to give him superiority over all the prophets. And then Allah says, وَأُخْرِجُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ النُّورِ أَئِمَّةً, from that nur I'm going to take out imams, يَقُومُونَ بِأَمْرِ, who are going to take a stand for my amr, that means the walayat of Allah, supremacy of Allah, and يَهْدُونَ إِلَى حَقِّ, they will guide towards my haqq and right. وَأَجْعَلُهُمْ خُلَفَاءِ فِي أَرْضِي بَعْدَ إِنْقِضَاءِ وَحِي, I'm going to make them my vicegerents and deputies after the end of my wahi. That's narration number one, why she's called Fatima, Zahra. The second narration, why she's called Zahra, that's in إِلَلُ الشَّرَائِ. إِلَلُ الشَّرَائِ is a book of Sheikh Saduq Rahmatullah Alayh. He says that the reason why It's narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The reason why Fatima alayhi salam is called Zahra is because whenever she used to stand up in her mihrab for ibadat, for the worship, there was a noor glittering from her, and the people of the heavens, all those who are residing in the heavens, when they look at that noor, it was glittering for them just like the stars glitter for us. We are here on earth in a dark night. When you look at the stars, you see, you know, they shine and glitter. Similarly, people of the heavens, whenever Sayyidah Fatima used to stand in her mihrab doing the ibadat, every single time she used to glitter for everyone who lives in heaven. That's the reason why she is called Zahra. Narration number 3. This is narrated from Abu Hashim al-Askari. Says, Sa'altu Sahib al-Askar. Sahib al-Askar, Imam Askari alayhi salam. He's called al-Askari because the neighborhood where Imam al-Askari was residing in that area of Baghdad was called Askar. That's why he's called al-Askari. Abu Hashim is an authentic siqa, a trustworthy companion in Ilm al-Rijal, in the science of narrators. So he says, I asked Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. Imam al-Askari is that Imam of ours who has the shortest imamat span, only 6 years. Almost entire life of his is spent in exile and confined to his house or jail. So he asked Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, why Fatima alayhi salam is called Zahra? And he replied to me that the face of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam in the morning used to glitter like a sun for Imam Ali alayhi salam. And by the time the Dhuhr arrives, her face used to glitter like the moon for Imam Ali alayhi salam. And by the night time, at the end of the day, by the sunset, her face used to glitter like a shining star. That's the reason why she's called Az-Zahra. That's the third reason. Let's go to the fourth reason. The fourth reason says, the reason, it's a long narration, but I'm not going to read the whole narration. I have to talk about so much tonight. So I will paraphrase these narrations so we can save time. So the third narration says, the reason why, again from Ilal al-Shara'i, the reason why, well, this is actually from Bihar al-Anwar, not Ilal al-Shara'i, this fourth one. The reason why Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is called Zahra is because there is a dome named after her in the paradise, which is made of red ruby with 100,000 doors. A special dome that Allah made, which is called Qubbatun Zahra'iyya, in paradise, and it's raised above the paradise, and the distance between that and the dome is a travel of 1 year, and that dome is made of red ruby with 100,000 doors. And see, every imam is talking about a new reason, and just like this reminds me of what my teacher had said, you know, when somebody asks Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam why Prophet is called Abu al-Qasim, the father of Qasim. That's called kunyat in Arabic. It's more respectful, instead of calling somebody with his first name or last name, you call somebody father of so-and-so, right? Or mother of so-and-so. That's a more respectful way in the Arabic culture and Arabic language. So this is what we call kunya in Arabic. So Prophet's kunya is Abu al-Qasim, father of Qasim. When someone asks Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam, why do we call him al-Qasim? And Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam replies back, because he had a son named Qasim. He said to Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam, zidni ilman, give me some more knowledge. And Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam said that, isn't Imam Ali the student of the Prophet? He said, yes. Isn't the teacher like the father towards the student? He said, yes. Didn't the Prophet say that Anta qasimun nare wal jannah. You are the one who's going to distribute the heaven and the hell among the people. In other words, that Imam Ali is going to send whomsoever he's going to send to hell, and he's going to send whomsoever he wants to send to the paradise. He's the qasimun nare wal jannah. So this is the reason why he's called Abul Qasim. And then my teacher's teacher, Ayatullah al-Uzma ilahi Qimshi'i, another great arif, rahmatullahi alayh, he said, this narrator, who's talking to Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam about the kunyat of the Prophet Abul Qasim, had less patience. This is what my teacher's teacher remarked. He had less patience. If this person had more patience, Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam would have elaborated much more and told him much more about that. Right? So there's so much we can learn. It depends on how much capacity we have and how much knowledge we deserve to get, to receive. Because they used to talk to people according to their respective mental levels. Prophet has already said, "Inna ma'ashir al-anbiya'i umirna an nukallima an-nasa ala qadri uqulihim." We, the group of the prophets, are commanded to talk to people according to their mental levels. So whatever they're going to talk to Salman al-Farisi, belonging to the 10th level of Iman, they will never talk about that stuff to Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, who belongs to the 9th level, because it's unfairness and injustice towards the knowledge. And whatever they're going to talk about to Abu Dharr, who belongs to the 9th, they will never mention that to Miqdad ibn al-Aswad al-Kindi, who belongs to the 8th level of Iman. And whatever they're going to talk to Miqdad, they will never say that information to Ammar ibn al-Yasir, who belongs to the 7th level of Iman. Unless we make ourselves deserving, right? In a gathering where a prophet was present, and Salman al-Farsi was present, and one of the famous companions showed up suddenly in that gathering and said to the Prophet, and Prophet became silent, all of a sudden, quiet. This companion said to the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, tell us what you were talking to Salman." And Prophet said, "Honey is harmful for the newborn babies." And he didn't say a word to him. Please say salawat. The fifth narration, which is from Biharul Anwar, about why Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam is called Zahra, is that the Prophet said, "Nahnu al-awwalun as-sabiqun." We are the first ones and the earlier ones. "Nahnu al-akhirun as-sabiqun." We are the last ones and the earliest ones, earlier ones. Allah created our nur 500,000 years before creating the universe and Adam. We don't know whether the Prophet is talking about 500,000 years of the calendar calculation of today's world, this world, which equals to 365 days, right? Or Prophet is talking about the calendar calculation of that world, which one day of that world equals to 50,000 years of this world. We don't know. We don't know. We can't say that. Not mentioned in the hadith. So Prophet says, Allah created our nur 500,000 years before creating the universe and Adam. And then Prophet says, Allah opened up my nur, and from that light Allah created the arsh, the throne of God, and kursi, the divine chair. Don't we read ayatul kursi? Wasi'a kursiyuhu samawati wal ard. His kursi, Allah's chair, expands, engulfs the heavens and earth. Unthinkable, right? We don't even know how broad and how big and grand is the world of matter. We have no clue. How big is our Milky Way, and then there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Milky Ways similar to ours, bigger than ours, right? You don't even know where, what's the limit of our world of matter. Where the world of matter ends, that's the first heaven starts. How big is that? Unthinkable for us. Where the second, first heaven ends, that's where the second heaven starts. We're talking about Samawati Sabha, the seven heavens. And Ayatul Kursi says, Wasi'a kursiyuhu samawati wal ard. You know, his chair is, and is expanding over the heavens and earth. This is what the Noor of the Prophet deserves to be treated like that. This is how high the Prophet is. This is the praise of the Prophet. This helps us to understand His Highness. And I swear to the righteousness that I am superior than the Arsh and the Kursi. I am superior than the throne and the chair. You remember which throne are we talking about? The same arsh and throne for which Prophet has said, when I was taken on Mi'raj and ascension, I had a look at the throne of Allah. Everything that I have seen in my life up till then, everything that he has seen became little in his eyes. After looking at the throne. And then he said, it was, and Prophet said, it was written on the pillar, Saqul Arsh, in the pillar of the throne, Innal Husayna Misbahul Huda wa Safinatun Najat. Certainly Hussein is the torch of guidance in the boat of success. That throne of Allah we are talking about. So Prophet says, I swear to the righteousness, I am superior than the throne and the kursi. And then Prophet says, Allah opened up the noor of Ali, and from that noor, He created Allah wal Qalam, the divine slate and the divine pen. Subhanallah. What a great bit of information that we learn. So much. It makes sense when we say Imam Ali is Qasimun Nare wal Jannah. He's the one who distributes the paradise, because the destiny is in his control. Destiny is written by the divine pen on the divine slate, which is created from the noor of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's supposed to control the destiny. Who else? He's supposed to send. Who else is supposed to send people to the hellfire and the paradise? Makes sense. And then Prophet says, Ali is superior than the law, the divine slate and the divine pen. And then Prophet said, Allah opened the noor of Hassan, and from that He created the seven heavens and the angels. Now all those seven heavens and all the angels of Allah, without exception, I created from the noor of Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Look at the highness. Look at that. We cannot even thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings. And then Prophet says, Allah opened the noor of Hussein, and from that He created the paradise, eight paradises and the hoors. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had also said, Inna Allah khalaqal jannata min noor al Hussein. Certainly Allah created the paradise from the noor of Hussein. The entire paradise is created from His noor. We are talking about those personalities. So that's the narration number 4. And then let's go to the narration number 5 that says that so the reason why Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, 5 or 6, I may have lost the count. The reason why, that's from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, narrated in again in Ilal al-Shara'i by Sheikh Saduq. The reason why Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam is called Zahra is because when she used to, from her house, there was a light coming out of her face in the daytime, spreading in the city of Medina, and it was, that light was visible on the walls of the city, white in color, and by the middle of the day, by the time of the Dhuhr, there was a yellow light coming, and it was visible on the walls of the city. And by the night time, there was a red light coming. So this is the glitter and shine of Sayyidah Fatima. And there's a lot of explanation made by our scholars in Urafa about these things. I don't think I have time to elaborate much. But I would just say one sentence and move forward. There were Urafa say that the white light that is mentioned, ihtimal, and probably talks about the rahmatun amma, the general mercy of Allah, which is now this white light from the existence of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam is actually representing the rahmatun amma and general mercy of Allah towards the creatures. And the yellowish light represents that special blessing of Allah, barakatun khassa, special blessing of Allah that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reddish light stands for the bahjat and surur and nishat that Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam used to feel at that time when she was witnessing the mahabbat and love of Allah with her eyes. So she ended up having that bahjat and surur and happiness in her heart. That is reflected in that reddish light. So that's the reason number five. She is called Az-Zahra. Please say salawat. Also, you know, we learned from some narrations the Aqiq, cornelian, the stone that we... you know, almost all of us wear. It's an alamat of a mu'min, and a stone which has borne witness. You know, it bears witness about the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This stone, the white aqiq, was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the noor of the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And narration teaches us the red aqiq is created from the noor of the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the yellow aqiq is created from the noor and face of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam. Please say salawat. This helps us to understand the highness of Ahlul Bayt. And there's a narration narrated in As-Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa. Even the Takfiri people are not going to. They keep on talking about this book, As-Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa, so which was actually written against the Shia faith. So in this book, it's narrated that about the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that the Holy Prophet has said that. An-nujumu amanun li ahli as-sama', stars are a means of protection for the dwellers of the heaven. Fa idha zahabat an-nujum zahaba ahli as-sama'. If the stars are gone, the dwellers of heaven would no longer exist. They would be gone. And Prophet said, according to that narration, Ahlu Bayti wa Ahlu Bayti amanun li ahli al-ard. My Ahlul Bayt are a means of protection for the dwellers of earth. Fa idha dhahaba Ahlu Bayti dhahaba ahli al-ard. If my Ahlul Bayt are gone, the dwellers of earth. The word dwellers, ahl, includes not only the humans, all the existences that are living on the in the planet earth. Scientists say 80% of the living creatures live inside water, right? All the existences that are living on earth would be gone if my Ahlul Bayt are gone. And this also helps us to understand that if the wives of the Holy Prophet were considered to be part of Ahlul Bayt, you know, there's a long discussion between different sects of Islam, whether the wives are supposed to be included in the concept of Ahlul Bayt or not. And so if the wives were part of the Ahlul Bayt, none of the wives of the Prophet are surviving today. Right? There is no wife of the Prophet who is alive today. And Prophet has said, according to this narration which I just recited to you, that if my Ahlul Bayt are gone, the people, the dwellers of earth would also have gone. So this is again a proof for the fact that there has to be, not only the wives of the Prophet are not the member of the concept of Ahlul Bayt, but also there is one member of Ahlul Bayt present at all times as a minimum, and that person today, who is the reason for the survival of the entire universe, is the Mubarak and blessed wujud of Imam Baqiyatullah al-A'zam. روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. So it is a very important concept of ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt, recognizing irfan, recognition of the Imam of the time, recognition of Ahlul Bayt, which is equal to in its value to recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And I wish our communities, generally speaking, and the entire Islamic Ummah had been doing the taqleed of only our urafa, those of the mujtahids who are arif in the real sense of the word. And our destiny would have changed for good. I know Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh Jawad Maliki Tabrizi, Rahmatullah alayhi, one of the all-time great urafa of our glorious history, he was delivering his Darsul Kharij, Bahsul Kharij, which is the highest level of, the highest stage of study in the Hausa educational system. He was delivering his Darsul Kharij, Bahsul Kharij, on the subject of Islamic jurisprudence, fiqh. And in the middle of his lecture, he started to talk about irfan, ma'rifat. And one of the students said to him, objected on the teacher, said, "Teacher, we came here to learn ilmul fiqh, knowledge of Islamic jurisprudence, from you. And you started to talk about ilmul irfan." And Sheikh Jawad Maliki Tabrizi gave a response which is so beautiful. It's an eye-opener for us. He said, "All the problems of Islamic Ummah are because of the fact that our knowledge of fiqh got separated from the knowledge of irfan." That's the best way to describe the problem of the Islamic Ummah. What a nice way. So an alim is the one who gives you the bookish information. "I have studied." That's why you go to scholars, they say, "Yeah, I have studied it in such and such book." Because they have the bookish information. They have never seen those things, those informations, those realities, those facts. Whereas Arif has not only studied the books, but because of the purification of the soul and removal of the hijabat and curtains from their souls, they have been there and seen that. They have witnessed the realities. And then they describe to us. Is there a comparison? If I was living in Seattle and I had never seen a Brar house, and somebody asked me to describe a Brar house, how would I describe? I've never been there, right? I can only Google it and find whatever address and stuff about that. That's about it. But you people who have visited a Brar house, if you were asked to define, you could have definitely defined it better than me, right? Because you have been there and seen it inside out. That's a simple example to understand the difference between Arif and Alim. Arif is the one who has seen the realities which are mentioned in the books, whereas an Alim has never seen those things. He only studied it in the bookish form. That's why when you go to the Urafa, they say, "Man ke nemibinam in tor nemibinam." That's how these are the tenses they usually use. I was listening to one of the speeches of Ayatollah Khamenei, and he said that ma dast khoda ra dar umur mibinim. We see the hands of Allah. And this is how the Urufa talk, right? Because they talk of, I see it like this, I don't see it like this, instead of just saying, I read it. That's what Alim talks like this, I read it. Well, he has never seen it. And when somebody came to Ayatollah Bahauddini, rahmatullah alayh, this great arif of ours, people used to be afraid of showing up in front of all the Urufa, because they don't have those curtains and they can see the realities. They can tell about my past, my present and the future, all the sins that I have done. It's like exposing your own self. So people avoid showing up in front of the Urufa. So when Sheikh Muntadhiri was announced to be the deputy, somebody went to Ayatollah al-Uzma, Sayyid Bahauddini, the famous one, rahmatullah alayh, and the great arif. Did you hear about the news that they talked about Sheikh Muntadhiri to be the deputy? And he replied, Man ke ishun ra rahbar nemi binam. I don't see him as the leader. Our leader is Sayyid Ali. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was the president in those days. Nobody had thought about him, you know, that he's going to be the leader tomorrow. Nobody had thought. And he said, I don't see him as our leader. That's how the Urufa talk. Coming back to the point I was mentioning, ma'rifat of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam. Innama, the reason why she's called Fatima. We have six narrations about that as well. The first hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, Innama summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'annaha Fatimat al-Shar. Fatima, literally speaking in Arabic, means the separator. The one who separates one thing from the other. Or herself from something else. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, the reason why Fatima is called Fatima is because she has separated from the she. In other words, she separated herself from the evil. The second hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Innama summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'annaha Fatimat min at-tams. Fatimat min at-tams. The reason why she is called Fatima, because she's separated from the monthly period. The third hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is that innama summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'anna al-khalqa futimu an kunhi ma'rifatiha. Because the creatures of Allah have been separated from ending up having the complete ma'rifat of her personality. There is nobody in the creatures of Allah, obviously, other than the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, it's understood. There is nobody in the creatures of Allah who can end up having the comprehensive, complete, full ma'rifat of her personality. This is the reason why she is called Fatima. And the fourth hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says that innama summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'annaha futimat anil khalq. The reason why Fatima is called Fatima, because she has been separated from the creatures, from the rest of the creatures. She is far away and apart from everything, everyone else. This is why she is called Fatima. And then the next hadith says, innama summiyat, fifth one, summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'annaha fatamat shi'ataha min an-nar. Because Fatima is called Fatima because she has separated her true followers from the hellfire. Well, a true follower, if we can manage, you know, man Quran says, man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amsaliha. Whoever comes with a good deed will have tenfolds of that, right? So this is what our scholars say in Tafsir, if we can manage to protect our good deeds till the last breath of our life and not waste our amal. If I don't waste my amal and preserve it till the last breath of my life, then definitely I go to Allah and meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my good deeds. He's going to give tenfolds. So the true follower is the one who can manage to maintain the love towards Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam and the obedience towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt till the last breath of his life. Not just a lip service claim. You know, like my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Hafizahullah used to say that there are some people who better call themselves to be mutamanni instead of muhib. And they should better call themselves that we wish we were lovers of Ahlul Bayt. That's the right statement for some. Instead of calling themselves that we love Ahlul Bayt. Because love has a heavy price to pay. Abul Aswad al-Du'ayli is a student of Imam Ali alayhi salam, to whom Imam Ali taught the Arabic grammar, Ilmun Nahav. Right? And he wrote the first book of Arabic grammar in the history. After the death of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Muawiyah had the policy of bribing the people and threatening the people and buying them with bribes. Depends which policy works for whom. So he sent honey to Abul Aswad al-Du'ayli. He had a 6-year-old daughter in his house. When the Muawiyah's man brought the honey as a gift, obviously she's a daughter, she's a baby, she's a little girl. She got the honey, she was about to take some honey out and eat it. Abu Aswad said to his daughter, "Don't eat it, my daughter, my dear daughter. This is poison." He said, "Dad, that's honey. It's not poison." He said, "Don't you know the son of Hind has sent it to take the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam away from us? This is not honey, this is poison." How many people have that sort of ma'rifat? How many people can manage? Prophet has already said, and I have in my mind to talk about this hadith and elaborate a little bit about this hadith which I'm saying right now, inshallah, tomorrow. And tomorrow's in the last speech, inshallah. Prophet has already said, "Inna walayatahu la tuqbal illa bil bara'ati min a'da'ihi." The walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam is not gonna be accepted except through disassociating ourselves from his enemies. And I'm gonna elaborate, inshallah, on this hadith tomorrow. So, and then the last hadith before I come to the end is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Innama summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'anna a'da'aha fatimu an hubbiha." Wow, what a great thing! What a blessing of Allah! We thank Allah for that. Thank you, Allah, for this great thing. Imam Sadi says the reason why Fatima is called Fatima, because her enemies have been separated by Allah. They have been separated from ending up having her love. Anyone, you want to hold animosity with the walayat of Ahlul Bayt? Go ahead, do it. You're going to harm yourself. You can't harm the Ahlul Bayt. You're going to harm your own self. In Farsi, there's a proverb, they say, "Harche kuni, be khudit kuni, agarche niko bad kuni." No matter what you do it to your own self. You do good, you do bad. In the real, real sense, you are doing it to your own self. We don't realize it. So the enemies of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam had been separated from ending up having her love. This is the greatest asset of our life, to preserve the love till the last breath. And disassociate ourselves from the enemies in Tawaghit. This is what gave the hard time to Imam Ali alayhi salam, right? This is what Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam was suffering from. So much pain. She was crying after the departure of her father. Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam was crying. She was crying so much. She's part of Al-Bakka'un. Al-Bakka'una Khamsa. There's five personalities in the history who cried a lot. She's one of those five. She was crying so much. People of Medina started to come and, sort of complain to Imam Ali alayhi salam and Mawla Ali, and then Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam used to go to the grave of the Shuhada of Uhud to cry upon the situation. Cry, and next to the graves of the Shuhada of Uhud. And Imam Ali alayhi salam made the Baytul Ahzan, the house of sorrows for Sayyidah Fatima. She used to cry there. It's so much sawab to cry over the Ahlul Bayt. Imam Ridwanullah Alayhi used to say, our cry over Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is a political move against the enemies of today. We are reminding ourselves about our faridah towards the walayat and making ourselves strong through these tears over Ahlul Bayt, so we can become resilient in front of the atrocities and we stay the course without compromise. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, look at their situation. When Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam went into her room, she said to Asma bint Umais, wait for a while and then call me. If I don't respond to your call, understand that I have departed from this world. Asma bint Umais did the same. She waited for a while and after that she called and there was no response coming. So she went inside the room and she found Sayyidah Fatima has departed this world. How much pain and how much sorrows she went through in these 75 or 95 days, depending on two different narrations. How much pain she went through. And now the narration says, when Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam come into the house and they found their mother is lying there, Imam al-Hassan came to the side of the face of Hazrat Fatima and started to kiss the face of her mom. Imam al-Hussein came to the side of the feet of Hazrat Fatima and started to kiss the feet of his mother. How much love they have towards their mom and how much Hazrat Fatima used to love her children. And they were asking, both of them were asking, please to talk to us. This is so painful for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Whenever the food was brought, after the Shahada and martyrdom of Sayyidah Fatima, the food is brought in front of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, but they have never eaten food without their mother. It never happened that they would be eating food without their mother. But now the food is there, but the mom is not present. What was the pain of Imam Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam? Imam Ali says, after shutting the grave, that sallamtuki ila man huwa awla biki minni, I submitted you towards the person who is closer to you, towards the one who is closer to you than me. Wa raditu laki bima radiyallahu ta'ala laki, and I am pleased for you with which Allah ta'ala is pleased. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Imam Ali also said, minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. Reciting this verse of Holy Quran, I would like to say to Sayyida Fatima alayhi salam that your mazlumiyat is really big, but when it comes to your son Hussein ibn Ali in Karbala, there is nobody to come to Imam al-Hussein. Abdullah ibn al-Hassan came, this little boy came to save his uncle Imam al-Hussein, and he became shaheed and a martyr as well right in front of Imam al-Hussein. There's nobody to defend him when my Mawla's body was over the tear, over those arrows. this is where Sayyida Zainab comes and Talla Zainabi, Talla Zainabiya. She did not stay silent over the atrocity in front of the Taghut. She came and protested over the zulm. I said to Umar ibn Sa'ad, Ayuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayh. In other words, Imam al-Hussein is being killed and you are watching.